Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20, read by Evan Passarello.
If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them.
Psalm 149. Praise the Lord! Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in its Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing, making melody to Him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with chains of iron, to execute on them the judgment decreed. This is glory for all His faithful ones. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word, and may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. So I'm not really in a religious mood today. Sorry. Do you mind if we talk about Taylor Swift? I mean, like most of you, the Eras tour is just about all that I can think about. Oh my goodness. I was so glad when our Prime Minister voiced his concern about the tour not coming to Canada. And then Taylor responded by bringing the tour to Canada. I mean, right here in Toronto, November 14th and 15th, pretty much already sold out. And that's November 14th and 15th for next year, 2024. I was just online getting tickets when, well, I had them, and then they disappeared. I guess they sold those tickets before I could close the deal on them, and I mean, they were two seats in the 500 section, way back, and they were only $2,400 each. And I lost out on them. Yeah, I was crushed. I might have to go for the pair that I can get at $4,916 each. But of course, they're obstructed views. You're not really going to see the stage as well. Disappointed? Yeah. But I just shake it off. Maybe I'll go to the movie version of the concert. It's out in October, like this October, and it's only $30 a ticket. So I figure if I bring my own popcorn, I can probably afford it. I mean, this tour, it's the Eras tour, okay? All sorts of songs from all of Taylor's different eras. I mean, they're happy and energetic, and then they're dark and brooding. Sometimes in the songs, she's even mean. Sorry, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. Why? Oh, because she's dead. Remember that song? Such a great song. Oh, I don't know if I'm ready. So much Taylor. Okay, you know, never mind. Let's be religious. I love Psalms. I really love the Psalms. They cover lots of eras, too. Some of them are full of lament and real downers. Not many about boyfriends and girlfriends, but some of them are actually about broken relationships. And many of them are upbeat and they're happy. This morning, we had one. Let's sing a new song, it says. I love new songs. Sing to God a new song. Give praise in the assembly of the faithful. Yeah. Happy stuff. Not songs about, you know, being at war and captivity. No, the rest of the world was in black and white, but we were screaming in color. Let them praise God's name with dancing, with tambourine and harp. Feel so Gatsby for the whole year. There's glitter on the floor after the party. For you, O God, take delight in your people. Let the faithful exult in their glory. Let them sing for joy. Yes. Yes, let them sing. For a moment, a band of thieves in ripped up jeans got to rule the world. I know my Taylor Swift. I know my Psalms. Let God's praise be on their lips, the two-edged sword in their hands. Sorry, the old Psalm can't come to the phone right now. Why? Oh, because it's dead. You know that moment that you find a bug in your dessert, you know, the one you're eating, and then everything was sweet and lovely, but that gulp ruins everything? It just stops you dead, and you don't really want to go on. And suddenly, even the bites you were enjoying before you found the bug, they don't seem as tasty anymore. There was a bug. Ugh. Let God's praise be on their lips, the two-edged sword in their hands, to bring the nations to justice and call to account the peoples. I don't know about you, but for me, it kind of ruins the whole thing. It's so nasty and mean. I really hope it's not part of the concert. But when you think about it, and I do, I would like some people called to account. Wouldn't you? I mean, there's a leader or two that I would like to bind in fetters. Not naming names, but I got some names. Some liars and opportunists and some criminals and some bad guys. Those who think that the world belongs to them and only to them. How about drunk drivers, terrorists, religious leaders who abuse the people they are meant to pastor? What about other faiths not as faithful as ours? The two-edged sword doesn't sound like a bad idea. you know, I do kind of like this psalm, maybe. I mean, never mind that soft and cuddly God that I sang about as a child. Never mind Taylor Swift's advice to shake it off. No, I think I like it better when God invites us to be faithful by dealing strongly with those people. About time we were invited, you know, even ordered to stand up and take action against those people. And you know who they are. But before we rush off, or before I rush off anyway, before we get all high and mighty, again, that might be just me, there is one part of the psalm that we really should consider. Upon whom does the scripture implore us to seek vengeance? The nations. That's what it says right in the text. And who exactly are the nations? Well, in the context of the psalm, the nations referred to in the psalm are the Gentiles. You know, the non-Jews. Me. Lots of us. This psalm is not a work of the Christian community. It is the Jewish community. And the we, in these words, ain't us. The them? That's us. We're the bad guys. We're the ones upon whom judgment is decreed. We're the ones that God clearly does not love. And just like that, I'm not so happy anymore. Worse than a bug in my dessert, I've got no dessert at all. No dinner. I'm not even invited to the table. I'm not part of this other than, well, the two-edged sword should catch up with me. Well, times, you know, have changed. I can go that route. So now these words belong to us, and the ones upon whom judgment is decreed, well, they're the real bad guys, right? Like, you know, terrorists and radical fundamentalists and suicide bombers and criminals and flies that annoy us. Times change, but attitudes don't. You know, all through history, nations and factions, denominations have always looked for divine justification for doing what they want to do. Drive the Canaanites out of the land of milk and honey. Colonize the New World. Push Israel into the sea. Drive the Palestinians from the Gaza. Invade this country. Take that country. But deep down inside, when you realize that it just might be you who is the them and not the us, those words don't sound so right. This might be a good time to get a little insight from Jesus. What do you think? And thank goodness, you know what? He's not being co-opted by all that politically correct stuff. All right, my Jesus, he isn't woke. No. In the gospel, just before the lovely "where two or three are gathered in my name" part that everyone loves, we actually hear some pretty strong words, right? Jesus told us how to get rid of people that aren't with the program. Kick them out, he said. Seriously. Jesus was speaking one day and he instructed, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault. Okay, I like that. Because if there's anything we need more of, I think it might just be pointing out faults. Woo-hoo. And I am actually very good at it. I mean, I've been keeping this talent to myself for far too long. And I love that Jesus is giving me invitation, a little direction that I can take. So, off we go to point out faults, and this is going to be a blast. Fault, 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 you. And it's holy. It's in the Bible. Now, as is often the case, I think it's important to probably read the whole sentence. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. Okay. Not quite as much fun as pointing out faults, but, you know, still pretty good and sound advice. When there's a problem, don't gossip. Don't divide into factions, and don't let the anger fester, okay? Confront the problem head on. Speak with the one who hurt you directly. But don't make a show of it. Just go to them and speak. Which is pretty good advice. I try to give the same advice to people, you know, who come seeking my counsel in times of conflict. You know, speak honestly and directly to the person who's hurt you. That's the best way to go. Ah, yeah, but what if they don't listen? Well, Jesus continues. But if you're not listened to, see, here it is, take two or three others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. A little legalistic, but okay. Basically, get some help, which isn't bad advice. I mean, if they can't hear you, or if they won't hear you, bring a witness or two, even a mediator. Make it like an intervention, like you can see on TV. Maybe that's the way to go. And then Jesus, anticipating further problems, goes on, if the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, then let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. If they don't listen, I mean really don't listen, then drag them to church and then kick them out of the church. Not a two-edged sword, but the idea of the psalm is right there, right? You know, get them right or get them out. That's how it works. So, you know what? Yes, it's good to have a little decisive action. You know, I just might need to drag a few people into church. You know, maybe next Sunday. Maybe next Sunday I can get my neighbor in here. The one who's always fixing his car and then running the engine while I'm trying to play guitar in my backyard. And then we'll get him in here, and we'll look at him, and then we'll kick him out of the church. We'll let him know that God loves me and my guitar more than him and his loud engines. That'll shut him up. Maybe the car, too. And I don't know all of their schedules, but there are a great number of politicians that I would like to bring in here next Sunday. I mean, they don't seem to listen. I've written letters, I've spoken to some of them in person, and they're not listening. Perhaps we should get them in here and kick them out of church. Let them know in no uncertain terms that God is against what they are advocating and for what they are refusing to do. Let them know that their actions have removed them from God's chosen family. That's what we need to do. That'll set things right. Oh, and there are a few others that I would really love to have here. The list is long, and it takes us all around the world. People who need to know that their actions will not be tolerated. They are not loved by God. Look what they're doing. Look at the things they say, the things that they are not treasured or valued by God. They're not worth our time or compassion. They are not worthy of God's attention. No. I mean, it's no two-edged sword, but that's because Jesus has brought us to a kinder and gentler way, I guess. We've evolved. But when you think about it, the message is pretty much the same. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, then let such a one be to you as a Gentile and tax collector. Shun them. Move them from the us file and put them in the them file. We can kick them out of the choir that's singing a new song to the Lord, and we can put the two-edged sword to their throats. Metaphorically, of course. Like Taylor saying, look what you made me do. Yeah. So, times may change, but it still seems that Jesus
gets the us and them concept, the in and the out. There is an us, and there is a them. And all this modern political correctness can't deny that reality. I mean, yeah, sure, we should try to make peace, but when that doesn't work, get them out. Or at least ignore them. Okay, fine, I'll even get nicer. Just ignore them. As much as I kind of do like this passage, I have to admit that deep down, I kind of thought that Jesus would have a better way. Wait a minute. Did I read this right? If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Did you hear it? Did you get it? Oh, it's like Jesus is playing with us, testing us to actually see if we're listening. If in your dispute the other doesn't listen, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. How did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? Yeah, he ate with them. He listened to them. He sat at table with them. He danced with them. He loved them. Times have changed. We can no longer assume that God is only with us. Right? Listen to the last words of the gospel. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Them. Not just us. Oh, no, Jesus is among them. I was so sure that he'd stay with us. The us and them construct doesn't hold, even when we want it to. And we should all know this, for God's sake. I mean, we have been them, and we have been us. We should understand what a foolish construct it is. Right? In the words of the psalm, in lots of Old Testament passages, we hear the prophets and the leaders speaking for God and telling us that Gentiles are not worthy of God's love, not worthy of respect or inclusion. And being those very people, we know that those words are wrong. So why is it so hard for us to remember that when we become the us? And we hear words that are dressed up to sound like God telling us that others are not worthy of love and respect. We know that we are. We surely must understand that they are too. Jesus recognizes our frustration when we disagree and when we fight and when we're passionate about something. But rather than giving us a justification for violence, rather than allowing us to claim divine right to vengeance, rather than giving us this divine warrant for dividing the world into us and them, he challenges us to treat our enemies like he treated Gentiles and tax collectors. Oh. As people, worthy, valuable, important, lovable, and loved. He invites us to get rid of us and them and realize that God may well be for us, but that doesn't mean that God is against them. Nobody gets to claim God as ours exclusively. We all belong to God. All of us. And belonging to God, well, whether I'm feeling religious today or not, that's good enough for me today. Good enough for me any day, actually. And you know what? If I don't have to divide the world up into us and them, if we don't have to go around doing that, imagine how much more time we're going to have to enjoy this world. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.
Creator, embracer, loving God of us and them, in this time of return, we pray for all those going back. For children going back to school, may they be welcomed, included, and inspired. May their learning be fulsome and their enthusiasm infectious. And may we all become invigorated by new learning and points of view. We pray for teachers going back to classrooms. May they feel supported by government and community. May they be respected by students and parents. May their gifts not be hidden or dulled by anything. May they give their best to their students, and may they feel satisfied in their call to teach. May they find joy in all that they do. We pray for people going back to work, away for vacation or simply without work until now. As they return, may they feel needed and valued. May the work be worthy of their time. May the reward be worthy of the effort. And may the fear of unemployment not hang over their hearts and heads. And God, we pray for those who are returning from their homes after fire. May their losses be minimal and restoration be quick. May the support be there for them in the days ahead, and may they soon feel restored to community and that true feeling of being home. And God, we pray for all those who wish to be home. Those who are without adequate living spaces. Those who are not welcome where they once felt safe and connected. Those who felt like us, but now feel like them. Please, God, be with them and provide them opportunity to live safely and be part of community that is inclusive and loving. And God, let us not leave it all to you. Let us do our part, helping them feel at home. Let us be sources of nurture and hope. Let us give up our comfort, some of our security, that we might help them find their way and place in the world. Let us risk for them, knowing that to you, we are all us. Your children, together. We pray for those who are returning to their thoughts, going over past decisions. May we all learn from our mistakes and not be burdened by the past. Let us not cling to the past, needing to justify how we have been, but instead let us be in the present, aware, loving, and unafraid. God, we pray finally in gratitude. Gratitude that you never have to return to us because you never leave us. We give thanks for the way that we experience you in the natural world. Ripe fruit, long sunsets, cool evenings. We give thanks for the way that we encounter you in the faces of others. in the words and actions of friends and strangers, in laughter and in tears. We give thanks for those holy times when we can feel you all around us. We give thanks for those moments when we feel you within and realize that your love, your strength, and your hope is ours to share. So God, help us to share without reservation with both us and them. We pray in the name of the one who brings us and them together. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, the words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Go forth from this moment, and as wonderful as it is to have you with us, go and be with them. Spend as much time as you can with us and them and discover there is no difference. God's children are not divided. Live that way. And know that God the Creator is with you, whether you're us or them. Know that Jesus walks with us and walks with them, walks us all together. And know that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills each and every one of us. Until we gather again, in person or digitally, amen.